We come from the net.
Through podcasts.
Through headphones.
Through speakers.
To this place.
Your ears.
Our format? Podcasters.
To watch and review.
To watch the show reboot.
Its episodes, old and new.
To defend you from your boredom.
Some say the listeners live outside the net and listen to podcasts for fun.
No one knows for sure, but we're gonna podcast anyway. Welcome to Mainframe. Hello and welcome to Welcome to Mainframe, a podcast about Reboot the Animated Series. I am one of your hosts, Evan David, and I'm here with my good friend, John Mitchell. John, how are you doing?
Doing pretty good. Just finished up our first episode.
Yes. And so, John, is this your first podcast ever?
Ever.
Very
exciting to be here.
First time being on a podcast.
Yep.
Awesome. First time listening to a podcast?
Nope. Got to listen to those movie reviews with you and Ben.
Oh, yeah. On our Strangers and Aliens podcast. All right. So here we are. And this is our inaugural episode talking about the very first Reboot episode. I'm a huge Reboot fan. Been watching it since I was a kid. I watched the majority of the episodes when I was a kid. And then I watched it again when I was about 19. And I watched through the whole thing. And it held up, as I remember. So now it's been almost 10 years since then. And now we're going to watch through it again. So have you ever seen this before?
No, this is my first time.
So never seen it before.
Give me a little bit of a background. When did this came out? Because I think you told me a little bit, but I forget, and I'm sure our listeners could get some background of when it came out.
So you've never seen it. Have you even heard about it?
Not before you told me about it.
Okay, and that was only like a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
Okay, all right. This is a famous show from the 90s. It's got a cult following. And it first came out in 1994.
Oh, wow.
First envisioned in 1980. But then, of course, the computer graphics couldn't even do this sort of thing.
Right.
So, and this show is very famous and groundbreaking for being the very first completely CGI animated series. And this is a Canadian television show.
Oh, really?
Yes. And it is, when they did this, they were the only production company in the world producing CGI animated things on a scale this big.
Yeah, you had told me, was it Toy Story was the first?
Toy Story was the first full-length animated film.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the first animated series. So every episode is completely 100% wow. CGI. So CGI had been used before in other films like Tron and I think it was the Young Sherlock Holmes, which is one of the most famous first usage of CGI, where a stained glass window comes alive and fights a guy, and people were mystified. They're like, how on earth did they do that? We don't know. And it never crossed their minds that it was computers. So this is brand new technology. It's scaring some of the traditional animators because they're like, no, this is going to put us out of a job, and the computer can't do what, you know, our own hands can do and put the artistry in there that we can do it with. And, so it's a controversial time for it, but it's also an exciting brand new time. This is a brand new look, and, people are excited for it. And even in video games, 1994, we're still on Sega Genesis and Super Nintendo, maybe even before that. And so we weren't going to get real 3D CGI video games until the N64 and the PlayStation, like in 1999, 2000. So this is 6 years before that.
Wow. I'm glad you mentioned the N64 because right as the show was starting and the theme song, even just the music, it brought me back to the Star Fox.
Yeah.
And some of the Super Smash themes too also, but really the Star Fox animation and CGI or whatever that they used. And yeah, that's kind of cool that like this was like the pioneer of, like, I enjoy Star Wars The Clone Wars and Star Wars Rebels, and so that was like the pioneer before computers really came to their full potential that we see now.
So this is, like I said, this is our first episode, so we haven't got a nailed down format for what we're going to do, or, you know, a schedule or whatever. We're just here, we're hanging out, we watched the show, we just finished watching it, and now we're going to sit down and talk about it. So let me just ask you this, and by the way, when we go through it, we're going to go through it plot point by plot point, we're going to talk about characters, we're going to do spoilers. So before we do that, though, John, just what did you think about it in general?
Well, it definitely, I first see it, I'm like, when was this, like, first made? So, like, to hear that it was made in, like, 94, well, that's incredible. Like, considering, like, how, like, I'm doing some IT stuff now and to think, oh, wow, like, computers back then.
Yeah.
Which were, like, nothing. We still had the floppy disks back then. Yeah. I still remember that, but it's just, it was one of those where I can see, like, the kids show elements and then but you have to, like, look past, like, you want to say bad CGI, but it was cutting edge of the time. Right. So that's what makes it cool to watch.
So, but let me ask you about the CGI.
Mm-hmm.
Is it like, does it take you out of the show now to watch it?
It makes me want to watch the original Tron, which I own, but I haven't watched yet.
Okay.
So I'm really curious to like see like,
well, you should difference. Take a look at that, because these shows have a very similar premise, right? Okay. Between Tron and Reboot,
right?
It's a little bit different, because in Reboot this is taking place completely 100% in a computer world,
mm-hmm.
with beings that inhabit your computer, whereas Tron is somebody from our world going into there,
right?
So it's very different as far as tone and visual style.
Even like Ready Player One, like that had such crazy graphics.
Yeah, but that's more. I mean, I don't put those in the same. Style. Yeah, it's video game. That's online role playing. This mm-hmm. is actually like, you know, it's those movies where like, oh, let's go inside your body and mm-hmm. you know your blood cells are alive and they, you know, have friends and they go on, you know, adventures.
Right.
That doesn't really happen. Well, maybe it does. We don't know. Maybe your blood cells aren't friends with each other, but they're not. So,
well, unless you're Joy and
Inside Out. Yeah. It's giving life to things that don't have life, at least not sentient life. And so this is the same thing, you know, with the computer. Whereas Ready Player One, I mean, it's a completely different thing. Yeah.
Virtual video game style.
Yeah. This isn't even like artificial intelligence. It's like, pretend the data inside your computer is alive and has friends.
Right.
And eats at a diner.
Well, and some of the shows that are coming out now, like, are really trippy and really weird. This seems more normal than some of the new shows coming out. Like,
like examples?
I don't even know. I just know, like, when I flip through, like,
you mean channels, like Adventure Time or things like that?
Yeah. Well, and other kids' shows that are just, like, they go for the abstract versus this is more of a solid,
very true,
actual story.
Very true. All right. So let's dive in here and talk about this a little bit. We'll go through the story bit by bit, and we'll talk about it. So, by the way, I have, like I said, I've seen all of these. Mm-hmm. And so I am going to attempt, as we watch through it, just to commentate on what we know so far. So I'm going to, you know, and I may know things that happen. I'm going to pretend like I don't. And we'll just go through it together. You as the audience and you, John, as the co-host who hasn't seen it. So we'll just go through. It'll be fun.
Well, you're much better at keeping spoilers out of the picture than I am.
It's very true. John is notorious. We do movie nights every week with our friends, and John is notorious for spoiling things. And not like, horrible, like, well, almost horrible. Because
I get excited, and so when I, like, go to tell Evan something, but then we purposely do movies that the other guys, or at least Brennan, has not seen.
Yeah, we started movie nights because there's a guy who's one of my best friends, but he has not seen, like, any movies.
No.
So one of our criteria for what we watch a movie night is, has he seen it? So John will be like, we'll be watching it, and it's about to come up like the reveal, you know, Darth Vader's about to say the thing. And and John will just be like, oh, this is the best part. You're going to love this part. Is that true?
Yeah, that's true. That happened like on Monday this week.
So John just gets excited. So But luckily, you haven't seen any of this.
Right.
So.
And I really wanted to ask you this as soon as I heard the villain's voice. Is that Edwin Blackard from Adventures in Odyssey?
No. So we are Christians, and if you've never heard of Adventures in Odyssey, it's a Christian radio drama that is for kids, but it holds up as adults. Mm. I've listened through a lot more as adults than I did as a kid. It's very good. So you might want to check it out. It's pretty sweet.
Especially Novacom just finished that up.
They do some cool sci-fi, interesting virtual reality AI stuff also. It's pretty sweet. Mm-hmm. Anyway. But no, it's not. There's a bad guy in there. Okay. He does sound a lot like Megabyte, but no. No, that's Tony J. Have you seen The Hunchback of Notre Dame?
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, he's the bad guy, Judge Claude Frollo or whatever.
Yeah, you got it.
Yeah. And so he's a very good voice actor.
Okay. I definitely recognize the voice. So now that you
very
say that,
evilly voice
I just
actor. Yes.
Watched that again like a month or two ago because that was one of those as kids we couldn't like. Watch all the time, so it's been a long time.
That's a very mature film. It's one of my favorites as from the Disney movies. All right, let's go through Reboot. Reboot, the very first episode, The Tearing. So we open up and we're in Mainframe. And Mainframe is the computer in which all of these guys live. And Bob, in the theme song, is kind of like a little monologue sort of things like, I come from the net, through people, systems, cities, to this place, Mainframe, my format guardian, to mend and defend, to defend my newfound friends, their hopes, their dreams, to defend them from their enemies. And then we go through the whole thing. And
well done.
Some say the user lives outside the net and inputs games for pleasure. No one knows for sure. But I intend to find out. Reboot. Okay, so that's this whole thing.
I think you can quote this by heart, Evan.
I just did. There's no need to think about it. I've proven it. So he's that's the world in which we live. Okay, and so we open up. Bob is flying through the city on his little board, and I'm just going to go through this, John. Okay. So if you want to stop me at any point and talk about something, do it. Okay, Hack and Slash, these two robot guard guys are chasing him, and they're kind of bumbling, and he's able to trip them up and have them crash into each other and break into many pieces. And then a video window pops up, like from the old Windows computers, where it's even got the slidey things on the side and the bottom.
Oh, it's been a long time.
You know?
But
yeah.
Maybe. I'd have to go way back.
So,
yes.
Yeah, he's got the old window from the Microsoft Windows 95. Pops up, and it's Megabyte. And we find out that Megabyte is kind of the crime boss of the city. He's kind of like the kingpin.
The Al Capone.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah. Yeah, he is the mob boss of the city. And he's a virus, a computer virus. And he has probably the most iconic design from the show. If there's any character you're going to recognize from Reboot if you're not very familiar with it, it's going to be Megabyte. He looks very distinctive and very cool. And he's got Tony J's voice. And he's evil. Okay, so he pops up and says, Bob, I want you to join me or do me a favor or whatever. And if you don't, things could go badly for your friends. Right?
Very ominous.
Yeah. So then we cut to the next day and Bob is waking up.
It's a genius 5-second get up and get going in the morning.
Oh, my word.
Even just propelling you out of bed.
So he's in bed and it props him up and moves him into the shower room. And he gets showered automatically, and then it does his hair. And so I'm just here wondering, okay, so the computer data needs to shower, and it also needs to sleep. And so it's very interesting.
Well, you got to refresh the computer, and he needs to refresh himself.
So Bob he's got blue skin, he's got silver hair, and he's a guardian, which I guess is like an antivirus program, right?
Seems like it, yeah.
And so we're seeing lots of different types of beings inside the computer. You've got the humanoid guys. There's only three of those.
Mm-hmm. Yep, only three.
That's Bob, Dot, and Enzo, who we'll meet in a second. And then you've got Megabyte, but he's kind of like a giant evil cyborg robot Wolverine.
Yeah, good guy. Description.
Yeah. And then you've got these little short, little blocky guys and little circly guys, right? And they're the main citizens of Mainframe. And so the blocky guys and the circly guys are meant to represent the ones and the zeros of binary code, right? Because that makes up all data inside the computer.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's kind of clever.
Didn't catch that.
I don't think you would. I don't remember if they ever spell it out like that. But that's what they're supposed to
represent. Something for the adults.
Yeah, yeah. And so Bob, Enzo, and Dot are classified as sprites. Now I'm not. No, you're an IT guy.
Just started, so I'm still getting. I'm not a bro.
I am not an IT guy. I don't program. I don't code. So I don't know all the lingo, right? But in my experience, sprites are just the visual little frames in video games where, like, it's Ryu, you know, and he's from Street Fighter and he's punching, and it's every frame. That's called a sprite.
Interesting.
So I don't know if that's the same thing or if this is something
different. You're probably right.
I don't know. Anyway, they're humanoid, okay? Mm. So anyway, Bob goes to Dot's diner, and Dot is his friend, who is a woman, and that's all we know about them so far.
Mm-hmm.
They seem to have a platonic yet slightly flirtatious relationship.
Yeah, and how's the kid? Is it her kid, or is it like just some random kid that's?
I know the answer.
Oh,
but they haven't given us that yet. But okay. I'll just go ahead and say it. It's not really important. She's his little brother, or he is her little brother.
Okay,
yes, and they also have a dog, Frisket, who is just a dog.
Is that the one that ate his hoverboard?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. He's not. I don't know if he's supposed to represent anything. He's just a dog. Why not? You know. So
nice.
Yeah, and they're in a diner, and there's a diner inside the computer. So
I don't think they actually even ate anything.
No, I don't think they did. It's a fully developed world inside here. Some things makes perfect analogy sense with a computer. Some it's just nope. There's a diner, and actually later I think they call it, it's a compression diner, so it's compressing data for other who knows. I don't know. So anyway, the diner has been trashed by Megabyte's goons because they're Bob's friends, and Bob has, you know, not agreed with what Megabyte wanted, so this is the recompense. Okay, so then Megabyte shows up in the diner via video window and says, hey, this could happen again, or it could not, if Bob comes and hangs out with me and does my little favor for me. You know, it'd be a shame if this ever happened again. I don't know if it will. No promises.
Very passive aggressive.
Yes. Bob is, you know, he's refusing flat out. He's like, no, I'm not going to do this. And by the way, Bob is new in town. He's just arrived.
Oh, I didn't get that.
Yeah, so he's new in town. He's arrived. I mean, he's probably been there for couple of months, but or however long time is measured by computer data, and so he's these are his new friends. It's his new home, and so he's not really familiar with everything yet, but he's just flat out refusing Megabyte. And as he's doing this, an ominous voice from the sky says, warning, incoming game, which you will hear a lot throughout the rest of this entire show.
Yeah, I was kind of wondering what that was all about, that they lost and, like, it was nullified.
Yeah.
So, like, what's the deal with that?
And once again, I'm not an IT guy, so I don't know if this is a thing. I don't think it is. But in this world, when the user inputs a game, the game comes out of the sky in a giant cube form, like a giant energy cube, and it lands on a random spot of the city. And as it's coming down, you have to, Bob as the guardian is trying to get underneath it so the game lands on top of him.
Hmm.
And anybody else who's, like, any buildings or anybody else who's caught underneath the thing is inputted into the game as NPCs, non-playable characters.
Yeah.
So they are the computer characters that you are fighting as the user in the game. And if they win, if they beat the user, then everything will be fine. They'll be fine. But if the user wins, it nullifies the entire area inside that cube. So the buildings, the people are gone. Or are they?
I guess we'll find out.
We'll find out. And so Bob is making his way to the game. And so you can't get in the game through the sides of the cube.
Okay, I wonder about that. Because he's literally like standing right next to it.
You have to go underneath it.
Okay.
Because if you try to go on the side, you'll just be deleted. Oh. You'll just cease to exist.
Minor detail.
Yeah. So he's trying to get underneath it, but he is stopped by Megabyte's goons, and because he didn't make it into the game, the user wins, and all the people inside the cube are nullified.
Wow.
Yeah. So he's playing for keeps here.
Yeah.
And Bob is, you know, he's really torn up about this, And he's wondering what to do, and he's like, I'm just going to go, and I'm going to make that deal with Megabyte because it's not worth this. But Dot's like, don't do it. Why don't you go talk to Fong first before you do that? So Bob heads over to Fong's place, which is the center of the mainframe computer. And I don't know what Fong's function is, but he is Yoda. He is the Yoda. The
master sensei.
Yeah, he is the master sensei. He has the very stereotypical, Chinese martial arts master man. And he is... apparently, Bob must beat him in Pong before he will relate his wisdom to Bob. So Bob does beat him in Pong, and it's kind of like they're playing hockey, but there's an overhead shot where it's just Pong. they're playing it. And he beats him, so then he's like, I will help you, with your problem. And he tells him the problem, and Fong's like, whatever happens, Megabyte is not a good person to make a deal with. He is evil. You're new here. We all know him. He is, we've tried to delete him at every upgrade. He doesn't, he's a virus. He's not going anywhere. He's evil. So don't mess with him. And, we at Mainframe, we stick together. Another thing I forgot to mention about Bob. He's from the supercomputer.
Oh, okay. I wondered what the correlation between the supercomputer and the Mainframe, because they were like, it seemed like they had been together at one point, or separate systems, or something like that.
Yeah, so Mainframe, to me, from what we've seen so far, I believe it's like a home computer.
Right,
because they're playing games on it. Mm-hmm. But like the supercomputer, we actually get to see it in the very opening song. It's the very first thing you see, and it's apparently much more advanced. So remember, this is 94.
Right.
So Mainframe is like Windows 95, and the supercomputer is like military...
Windows 97.
No. Yeah.
Or XP.
It's like the computer in the Pentagon or whatever, or at the Smithsonian. I don't know. So, with the tape. I don't know. So.
Nice.
So Bob's like, okay, that sounds reasonable. So he leaves and he goes back to Dot, quote unquote. But then later when Fong calls back to the diner, Bob is not there. Bob is neither place. So they're like, oh no, he's made a terrible mistake. He's going to do something reckless. And that's exactly what he's doing. He's going straight to Megabyte's evil fortress, which is in the shape of a giant cobra thing. At least that's what it looks like.
That's the initial thought I got too. Yeah. But they didn't really explain it or like...
I mean, it doesn't really look like a snake, but it looks kind of like the cobra's hood.
Yes.
The tower
is
looking at. Yeah, so it's clearly that's where the evil villain is. And so he goes there and Megabyte greets him and gives him the tour. And down in the basement, there is an armada that Megabyte has. He's got an armada of ships and evil virus infected binomes that are ready and they're lined up. And then he opens the door and there is a glowing, unstable ball of energy they call a tear. Once again, I'm not a computer guy. So I don't know if this is a thing.
I don't know, but it had remnants of Tron Legacy in it with all the armada of soldiers,
yes,
and tanks, and then trying to like escape into not the real world, but the
supercomputer. That's right, because the tear apparently can be turned into a portal into the supercomputer, a gateway. And only Bob can do it because he's a guardian and he has the official technology or codes or whatever to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And so his offer to Bob is, hey, stabilize this tear. Allow me to go into the supercomputer and your friends will be okay. And I won't mess with them anymore. And so Bob's like, well, if I do that, will you just infect the supercomputer? And what's up with this armada thing?
Yeah.
And Megabyte's, oh, these are just some colleagues
to make my visit comfortable.
Yeah,
whatever it was he said. Like, okay.
Yeah, they're all carrying weapons. There's giant warships
with cannons on them.
Yeah.
It's like we can't trust this guy.
So Bob's not going to do it. He's like, forget it. I'm not doing it. So then Megabyte's going to do it the hard way. He grabs Bob and throws him into the tear, which apparently is bad. Apparently, you will die if you are. You go into the tear. So at the last second before Bob goes in there, he stabilizes the portal. And so when he hits the tear, he actually just goes through the portal into the supercomputer. Megabyte fishes him back out. But as soon as he does, Bob recalls whatever he did.
Yeah, that And some kind of device.
Yeah, it's called a glitch. I believe. His little arm device thing, mm-hmm. which is can do gadgets and do things. Gotcha. And so he returns it to its former state. Megabyte's like, okay, we're going to have to do this again. Let's do it again. So he's going to throw him back in there. But before he does, Hack and Slash are back, the robot guys, and they're like, hey, we found Dot outside. She started a riot. And then we look at the riot. It's three guys with picket signs.
Not intimidating.
Yeah, outside the front. Her plan was that she's just going to get herself captured, and then she knew they'd take him straight to Megabyte, mm-hmm. and then she'd find Bob. So looking at the riot, he gets close enough to the computer console where Bob is just able to kick it over.
I was not expecting that. It's just like
kicks the whole, like it's a wall of computer consoles. He just kicks it over, which unleashes the terror because Megabyte had it in some sort of scaffolding, mm-hmm. energy scaffolding to keep it, you know, where it was. It disrupts that, and the terror is now out of control. It's killing people. It's killing the mm-hmm. binomes and the warships and stuff. And Bob and Dot are like, see ya. So they leave. They're running. Megabyte turns around and he's like, they're escaping. But then Megabyte comes after them, and he comes after them like a werewolf.
Was that a werewolf?
I don't know. It's like he's
running up the thing. I guess. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Cause he's like, it's an interesting dichotomy because he is, usually he's like a very refined, evil businessman, you know, mm-hmm. smooth talking, but now he's mad. So now he also has a feral side. He's like, he is running on all fours up the wall right. of the elevator shaft, making horrible monster noises, chasing them. And then when he gets to the top ahead of them, he's like, oh, leaving so soon. So he's kind of, you know, he's got two different sides to him. And I kind of like that. I think it's cool. And
you don't see it coming. It just kind of happens.
Yeah. And then as he's about to, you know, apparently he's much stronger than Bob and Dot.
Yeah. Yeah. Like he just like picks Bob up with the device and throws him over his head and just like.
So they're in trouble. They're not on equal footing with this guy. Mm-hmm. But then warning, incoming game. And then another game's coming. And it just so happens to be landing directly on top of the evil Cobra Tower. And, oh, we forgot to mention, before, there's only two things that can stabilize that tear. One is the Guardian. Two is if it gets inside a game.
Yep.
And the game will stabilize it and turn it into a portal. So the game comes down, which means the portal is stabilized if they can just get to it. Mm-hmm. But when the game comes down, that means everybody has to play in the game. Everybody's just got to do their part. So Bob, Dot, and all the other binomes, they hit their buttons. They double-click their buttons on their shirts and say, reboot! And it reboots their clothing into clothing that is appropriate.
Flight suits.
Yeah, for NPCs of the game, because it's a Star Wars game.
Yeah. Okay, I wondered if they were directly going for that.
Oh, for sure.
It certainly felt like
that. It's, I mean, they don't fly X-Wings or anything, but it's clearly, it's ripping off Star Wars. They're on a giant aircraft carrier in space. They get in the speeders, and they're off. They're flying. And Megabyte actually infects the user's
fighter
character. Yeah, yeah, fighter. And so wherever the user goes, or he maybe even just takes over the user.
Yeah, it wasn't clear exactly what
I think happened. That's what he does, is he takes over the user, and the user is not in control anymore.
Right.
And so their goal is no longer to beat the user, mm-hmm. but it's to stop Megabyte from getting to the portal. So they chase him through an asteroid field. And, you know, the shooting lasers and stuff. Mm-hmm. But then Megabyte has infected a Star Destroyer with so many missiles. There's so many missiles.
Cannons, missiles, everything.
But, of course, it's a video game, so it's like, just aim for the target.
One torpedo shot, and the whole thing's gone.
Yeah. And you commented to me while watching, like, that was too easy. Well, it's the Death Star. One torpedo shot.
Yeah. That's true.
Plus, there's only 20 minutes. Do this whole episode.
You can't do a 5-minute battle. So yeah, it just doesn't work.
So anyway, they go down to Hoth, the snow planet.
Okay. Which is... I did see so many, the asteroids, Death Star or
the Star Destroyer
and then
now, snow planet.
Yeah, okay.
They're chasing Megabyte through the caves of the snow planet, mm-hmm. and Bob ends up being able to blow up his ship. All right. And Megabyte gets out of the ship, though, and is able to disable Bob's ship, and he makes it to the tear. or the portal now, and mm-hmm. he's about to go through it, but then Bob goes through it first, and right when he does, the game is over, it's mm-hmm. ended, and see, I guess, because usually if you beat the user, it's over.
Right.
But I guess since Megabyte had infected it, and then they thwarted him, then it's over?
Yeah, I wasn't sure, like, how, because he had taken the user's spot,
right.
but then he didn't disappear, because the user, I'm assuming, just ends up
Well, leaving. His ship got blown up.
Right.
Right. We don't know. So we don't know what happened.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, he goes in the portal, the game goes back up, but then the terror is unstabilized because the game is gone. But then Bob stabilizes it from the other side, comes back through, and the portal completely disappears. Because while he was in the supercomputer, Bob got some stuff from the supercomputer's web arsenal or whatever. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the armory they were talking about.
Yes.
When he was like, are you going to raid the armory?
Yeah.
He's like, no.
Yeah, yeah, because apparently that's what Megabyte wants, because all the goodies are in the supercomputer, all the horrible command files that can do anything and the cheat codes or whatever,
mm-hmm.
they're all there. So anyway, he uses a thing he got from the supercomputer to erase the portal completely, so that's gone. And then he pulls out two other things which seemingly teleport him and Dot away.
Mm-hmm.
And so Megabyte decides, he's like, after them, chase them, they must be back at the diner. But turns out it wasn't a teleportation command, it was a hidden file command.
Yeah, invisibility, yeah.
Yeah, and so they were just invisible the whole time. And so after Megabyte trashes the diner again and is convinced they're not there, he leaves them alone. And then they all reunite with Enzo back at the diner, and it's happily ever after.
It was quite an episode.
Yeah.
It flew by.
Yeah.
But 20 minutes.
Yeah, so that's the first episode. So you liked it?
I did. It was very unique, but I enjoy, like, seeing just the pioneer of what animation was back
yeah.
then. Because you're a little bit older than me, not by much. And so, like my first animation experience was, like, I guess Pokemon, like late 90s, early 2000s,
mm-hmm.
and like all the animation shows coming out then, which they had a lot more computing power to work with. But it almost reminded me of Adventures in Odyssey a little bit, in the sense of like
the imagination station,
yeah,
where they go
and,
into different
and just
things.
All the different it's clear that they're. It's like, stay tuned till next time, and it's like trying
yeah.
to like hook you for the next episode, and
yeah.
it's just
episodic. So it's not like the Arrowverse or whatever,
right.
where it's like a continuing epic arc over many episodes,
right?
At least not yet.
And like with the Flash and Arrow and Legends of Tomorrow and all those shows that we love
yeah.
so much, it's just like you. You can fit so much more in 43 minutes versus just
oh, absolutely.
20.
Yeah.
And so it's interesting to see like where they'll take this.
I will say this as a spoiler. It only gets better.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good. Because
it just gets better and better the more you go.
I was wondering if it was going to be one of those where it's like, all right, we put all of our budget into the first one and then we had to like
no,
back
no, no,
off.
No. And I'm not just talking about visuals. I'm talking
okay.
about storytelling
All right.
and gravitas, and it's just going to get crazy. So
I'm curious, like, what was your, like, first reaction when you saw it as a kid? Like, what other shows were you watching at the time, and how did it compare with those?
You know, I can't remember all the shows I was watching, but it was on Cartoon Network, I think.
Okay.
And, I mean, at that time, I was watching, like, Dragon Ball Z and Superman the Animated Series, Batman the Animated Series, Animaniacs, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's just such a unique show, a unique look. I really enjoyed it because it's refreshing. It was refreshing
right.
for the time. And, you know, I was watching Pokemon and things, too. And so there was nothing really else like it. I mean,
mm-hmm.
they had, there was a show called Johnny Quest, The New Adventures of Johnny Quest. And they would go into Quest World, which was very, very rudimentary CGI, kind of like this, but I think maybe a little worse. And, you know, that was there. But other than that, I mean, around when I was watching this, there weren't very many CGI things.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I don't know if you've experienced this phenomenon, but when you first see graphics, like new graphics, like for N64 or the GameCube
yeah.
or whatever, you think it's the best thing you've ever seen.
Oh, yeah.
And then later, once you see better stuff, you come back and you're like, wait a second, what? This is looking like that? So yeah. So back then, I was like, this is great.
Right.
This looks great. And it's very cool.
Yeah, Super Smash Bros. N64, that changed my life. But then Melee came out for the GameCube.
Oh, my word.
And then now, like, when you try to play N64 on your high-def TV,
yeah,
it just looks like, oh.
Well, the graphical difference between Smash Brothers 1 and Smash Brothers 2 was incredible. Like, I remember playing Melee for the first time at, like, Toys R Us on the video screen.
Oh, when they used to do that.
And I picked, you know, Bowser, and I went in there, and there's so much happening on the screen and so much more detail than what we had in N64. Like, my brain was like, what is happening? Like, I couldn't follow what was happening on the screen because it was so smooth and cool looking. So yeah
this show, like, it's all the sci-fi because I love that, but then it's like Buzz Lightyear of Star Command. I don't know if you ever watched that at all.
Well, I watched a couple episodes, but the movie is one of my favorite things.
Right.
Yeah.
It reminds me of that a lot because the purple guy, Emperor Zurg, or Megabyte, they look kind of the same and they got all their minions.
But evil Emperor Zurg is funny. Megabyte's not funny.
Well, you just say he's funny, you know, the werewolf and then like super prim and
but proper. Not funny like Emperor Zurg. Emperor Zurg's just cracking jokes. He's so funny.
It actually has been a while.
Ooh, so. The flamethrower.
Okay, I remember that part.
He's so funny. And he's watching Buzz Lightyear on the video screen. He's like, I tape recorded it, you know, and Buzz Lightyear's crying. He's like, oh, one more time, you know, plays it again. The giant laser's not working. Yes. He's like, did you put the plus end at the plus part and the minus end at the minus part?
You're making me want to watch
and this now. And they go back, and the battery's upside down. He's like, oh, yeah, that would do it, wouldn't it? So
that's awesome.
I mean, he's funny, but Megabyte's not funny. But, yeah, I see what you're saying. Yeah. Like, similar aesthetic, similar look.
Yep.
Yeah, I get it. All right. A couple other things I wanted to talk about briefly before we wrap this up is okay, some of the animation, right? So this is brand new, first of its kind. And I don't know if you noticed, but at the beginning, they're trying to do squash and stretch animations with the characters, which are golden standards by which traditional animation makes their characters' movements look fluid and realistic, right? So if you're doing a very quick animation between one frame and another, you're going to stretch that one frame, and if you were to pause it on that frame, the character would look like really super deformed, and you wouldn't be, you know, like, that doesn't look good. But when you're watching it at high speed, you know, in the animation, it looks fine.
Right.
And so they're trying to do that with the CGI animation, because that's just what you do with animation. But I don't think they've realized that it doesn't quite translate as well with CGI, because it's able to render movement so realistically, you know?
Yeah.
So
well, and the movement did really seem realistic. Like, it was I wasn't sure what to expect when I, you know, was coming into this. So, like, compared to, like, I guess thinking of, like, okay, what is this going to look like? It didn't look that bad. Like, when he was climbing up the elevator shaft, I was like, okay, like,
there's some definite spots where it's like they are new at this. And by the way, the animators who are doing this, it was painstaking animation to do all this stuff because they're the only ones doing it on this scale. And the software was new to everybody at the company. So, I mean, bang up job for all, you know, for the time and for what these guys were had at their disposal. So, but there's some definite points where you're like, this is rough. It's rough. We're just going to deal with it, you know?
But I had faith that you, with your taste and my taste aligning pretty close, that I would appreciate this. And I do. So thanks for introducing it.
I think you will appreciate it even more as we go. And then the last thing is, and I don't remember if they keep doing this, because I always forget that they did this in the first season at least, is where they keep breaking the fourth wall and they're looking at the camera and talking to the audience. They do that like two or three times in this episode, like, oh man, what luck, you know, or you know, something like that. And I was like, oh, I don't remember that. Well, so I can't remember if they keep that up, but it is kind of part of the show's cheesy charm.
I guess compared to the Falcone Atreyu, what's that film called that it broke the fourth wall, like the best we've ever seen?
With the giant Neverending Story.
Oh, yeah.
My word. Okay, I'm not a fan of that movie, but the twist ending gave me goosebumps. I was like, whoa!
Yeah, get rid of the Phoenix statues and just focus on the fourth wall at the very end.
That was cool. That was breaking the fourth wall like I've never seen. This is breaking the fourth wall like usual. And so I always, because I know the show changes tone. This show changes tone as it goes, as it gets into the later seasons a lot.
Okay.
And so, you know, I always compare this first season to like the old Batman 1966 cartoon, where it's like, don't watch it and try to pretend it's not incredibly out of the box cheesy.
Right.
Because it is. And they know it is. And just enjoy it, you know? And so same thing here. I mean, it's cheesy. We all know it's cheesy.
Yeah.
We like it.
It's a good show, though. Yeah. You know, but adults can still appreciate it.
Yeah. Especially later.
Later. Well, especially changing tone. It's interesting the tone of, like, even The Flash, the three seasons I've seen. I've seen the fourth one at all.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, one, two, and three, totally different tones. So, if it changes the tone, I'll be interested. Because there's how many seasons? Four of this?
Four, yes. And they're pretty short, too. I think they're only, like, 13 episodes each.
Okay. And 20 minutes apiece. So,
yeah.
Okay.
There's only 48 episodes of this, so.
Gotcha.
We could get through it pretty quick here.
All right.
So, all that being said, if you want to follow along with us, we're going to be doing an episode a week, at least, maybe more. And if you want to follow along with us, you can get all of Reboot currently on iTunes. And as of the recording of this episode, May 2nd, 2018, you can watch it for free on ShoutFactoryTV.com. They currently own the rights to the old Reboot show. I guess they make the DVDs or whatever. And you can watch the whole thing for free streaming online at ShoutFactoryTV.com. So check it out there. Follow along with us, watch with us, and send us in some feedback. We'd love to hear from you and talk to you, or talk at you about it. So thank you for listening, everybody. This is Evan and John. We'll see you next time.
Have a good one.
Thanks for listening to the Welcome to Mainframe podcast, hosted by Evan David and John Mitchell. You've heard from us, now we'd love to hear from you. Drop us an email or voice message at welcometomainframe@gmail.com. Dare to venture out onto the web and visit our site at welcometomainframe.com. Welcome to Mainframe is a proud member of the Relevant to Your Interests podcast network.